Turn in the Word of God this evening to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And as you do so, I welcome you here tonight. Very glad for everyone that was able to join with us for food and fellowship before our prayer meeting this evening. And trust that you didn't eat so much that you're going to be struggling to stay awake. That's always the problem, isn't it? That we can sit down after we eat and the drowsiness ensues. But we trust that's not the case tonight. May the Lord give us alertness and love for His Word. We want to feast on Him as well. Come not just for the physical, but for that bread of God sent down from heaven. And He's here tonight. He's here for us to feast on and to seek this evening. So I turn your attention to Matthew chapter 11 and to the end of the chapter, Matthew 11, and the end of the chapter, where we read from verse 25, familiar language. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. May the Lord bless, as familiar as they may be, these words to your hearts this evening. Man lives under a burden. There's no getting away from it. Every single man, every single person born into the world lives under a burden. I made reference to that fact the very prayer meeting after Leah was born, that the few and evil are the days, and so they are. That's a burden that we live under, and it's a reality whether we want to face it or not. But our Lord Jesus Christ depicts the particular burden that man is under here in language that, as you see it from verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what is surprising about this is the backdrop of the language, because he has brought some of the strongest language that he would ever utter previous to this. And as he lays before those that heard him on that occasion the reality of their sin and the judgment that must come upon them, he then enters into an invitation. Oh, yes, there is the reality of his sovereignty and salvation. You can see it in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He is sovereign. Those that are responding, those that are receiving, are doing so by divine appointment, by the power of the Spirit, and not by the flesh. We're born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. It is the work of God. And yet, the invitation is issued. Come unto me. You've heard the language of judgment. Your sins are real. Christ never hid away the sins of the people. He never hid them from their view. He realized that their sins needed to be pointed out, especially in their resistance to the gospel that he presented. And yet, with such harsh language still comes this invitation. Come unto me. Men carry a spiritual burden. It's not a physical burden. It's a spiritual one. They are heavy laden. They are under this weight. Some, of course, may be carrying it, and they are bearing this labor without recognizing the weight of it. I think you could say certainly that was the case for Saul of Tarsus. He did not feel the weight of the law. He thought himself, according to the law, blameless. He didn't feel the weight of it. Others, however, that were before the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt were very aware of the weight of it and were crushed under the weight of endeavoring to please God by their own effort. And Christ says, no, you don't have to bear that burden. You don't. Let me remind every child of God here tonight, you do not bear the burden of pleasing God, of establishing the grounds of your approach tonight in prayer by your own merit. It is done. Christ calls us to take his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Take that. Don't remain under the weight of the burden that you are there with. Take my yoke. And of course, by saying this, take my yoke, and then saying in verse 30, my burden is light, there's still a sense of burden. It's not like it's lifted entirely, but when he says my burden, he is drawing a distinction. It is a different burden. It's not the same. It's not the same. When he says that he's calling us to take his yoke and to enjoy his burden, it's not like he is saying, well, I am taking some of the same burden that you carry, and you just have to carry some of it. That's not what he's saying. It is a completely different burden. He takes the burden of satisfying God by his obedience, and then he gives us a different type of burden, which he says is easy. My yoke is easy. Christ frees you, child of God, but he does not free you entirely. You don't get to just run off like a wild beast and live how you please. There's still a yoking. There's still a burden of sorts that is placed upon us, and for our good and for God's glory. So take my yoke, that is, yield to me. The beast had to yield to the yoke. That which would brace it to another beast, it would have to yield to that. If it sought to fight against it, it was only going to do itself harm. Some of those old yokes would have actually choked the beast if it tried to wrestle or fight or buck against it. Of course, to take his yoke has a particular purpose. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Yes. The idea of learning has a sense of discipleship. You're a disciple. Come and be a disciple. Come and sit in the school with me. Learn of me. Now, learning can take different forms, can't it? There can be learning from instruction and learning from example. And of course, the Christian life involves both. It's much instruction, much teaching. But Christ's emphasis here is not on the instruction, it is not on the teaching, it is on the example. This is the latter. And you can see the emphasis of that clearly when he goes on to say, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." He is representing there not something that he is teaching by way of instruction, by verbal, oral instruction. It is example. It is look and see my spirit. I am meek and lowly in heart. Yes. This, of course, was prophesied of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." He is lowly. That was not what they were expecting. And even when he came, they were not expecting it. But this was prophesied. And here he says, "I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly." What is meekness? What is meekness? Meekness, of course, is a sense of patient submission. In this case, of course, to God. Patient submission to God. But how do we patiently submit to God? What is meekness in your life? How is it that we learn meekness? Well, it is by His word and by His providence. We learn to take a yoke and meekly surrender to His word, to His instruction that comes that way. And also by His providence, the things that He brings across our path, because the beast travels along a certain path, doesn't he? And he may come to things that he doesn't like, but if that is the path that the master would have him to go, he accepts it and he walks that way. And so we are called to the same spirit. Ephesians 4, Paul says in verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Yes, there's a yoke, isn't it? The prisoner of the Lord. There was a burden. That was a burden, wasn't it? That was a burden to take. It wasn't the burden of pleasing God. He was quite happy to count all that he had tried to do, count it dung to win Christ. But it didn't mean he was completely unburdened. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, tonight, I want us to draw our minds to the language of our Lord in verse 29, when he simply says, learn of me, learn of me. We want to learn of him, don't we? We do. We do. We want to be students of Christ. What can we think about tonight? Just a few things to muse upon before we pray. First, we may learn what we might describe the general attitude. To learn of Christ is, first of all, to learn obedience to God, isn't it? Learning obedience. You can't learn of Christ without learning obedience. Paul thought he understood what that looked like. He did. He was so confident. Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, blameless. He was so confident. It's a very dangerous place to be. Yes, it is. And some of you are on the road long enough that we ourselves might come to a point with our maturity thinking that we have it all figured out. We understand the externals, the expectations of the Christian life. But do we? Do we? Do we have it all figured out? Do we have it all? Are we as consistent as we think ourselves to be? Or are we as aware? Are we as aware of our sins as we ought to be? Is it not that which happened to those at Ephesus when they left their first love? Yes, they left. And they had everything orthodox. And there was a certain outward form of obedience, and it all looked fine, but they had stopped learning of him. They had. They had come to a point of maturity and stability, and of course, they had had one of the greatest blessings that Paul had spent 3 years in their city, twice as long as he spent in Corinth, far longer than he spent in many other cities, so they had been well grounded. But in those early days, it was not just hearing language from Paul and from the other teachers that were there. There was a constant desire to learn of Christ. Not just learning obedience by the language that was put before them, what they were taught on any given Lord's Day, but there was this zeal, this love, this fervor that drove them in their continual desire for obedience. Learning of Christ, what obedience really looks like. Christian, I say to you, to learn of Christ is to learn obedience to God day by day. We can become like Saul when we were small in our own eyes. Then then that we realized we needed to constantly be coming to God for wisdom, for help, for instruction, for guidance, for protection. Then we become big in our own eyes. We begin to see ourselves as capable. And we're not learning. We are no longer learning of Christ. That is the beginning of our downfall. To learn of Christ is not only to learn obedience to God, it is to learn reverence for God, isn't it? Learn reverence. There is much teaching that goes on today. Greenville has as much Bible teaching as she has ever had, I would hazard a guess. As much teaching as she has ever had. And yet there's something missing, isn't there? We all know it. We all know it. There's something missing. Something that we are all too aware of. And we may ask the question, well, what is it missing? What is it missing? It's not missing teaching. We may say we are enjoying better teaching, maybe more orthodox teaching, maybe more biblical teaching. I don't know if that is the case. Certainly there's more teaching. But what is it that's missing? It would appear to me that there isn't as much reverence for God as there would have been in the past. You might put it another way. Fear of the Lord. Fear. Fearing God. Seldom do we hear messages that trump the importance of the fear of God. Love of God is always talked about. The fear of God, not so much. I remember when I first saw reading through my scriptures and coming to Genesis 22 and Abraham offering up Isaac. And we talk about, because I love the Lord, I will give him anything. And that's true. There's nothing wrong with that. But I remember just it kind of illuminating from the page. When Abraham is called to offer up the most precious thing in his life, and off he goes, heads up Mount Moriah. And you know the narrative, you know the story, what happens. And the Lord's response to Abraham's submission is, now I know that you fear me. Now I know you fear me. I don't think that's how we would have written it. I think we would have said, now I know you love me. That's not what's said. Now I know you fear me. It was a fear of God, a real fear of God, that God, as well as his understanding of his promise, his trust in God, and all the rest of it, certainly, of course, played a part. But it was also a fear of God that made him get up early that morning and make the journey. Fear. Do you fear God? Is there real reverence? Do we come into God's house with a fear of his name? Do our lives communicate to our children that not just we believe in God, but we fear God? We wonder why the nation is in the state that it's in. Part of it is the fact that the church has gotten really, really bad at communicating the need to fear God. We play games. We mold church according to our own desires. We reshape what sanctification looks like. And all of the reshaping, all the remolding is because we don't fear God. I've begun to pray more regularly these days. Teach me the fear of the Lord. It is to learn service for God as well. Christ, of course, to learn of him is to learn service. His meat was to do the will of him that sent him. His entire life, everything was service. So these are some general attitudes that we can glean from to learn of Christ. But then I want us to consider also practical holiness. We'd also learn practical holiness. Christ takes the burden of holiness that satisfies the law of God, the demands of our God. He takes all that burden off of us, but he doesn't take it away and say, I want you to live differently. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's taught old covenant and new. But how are we to be more holy? How is it that we become more holy? It is learn of me. Learn of me. That's what Jesus says. Learn of me. And so with the thunderings of Sinai and the law that was given and its significance and perpetuity, it cannot in any way be lived out separate from Christ. The law was placed into the ark because there it's kept, and it is by looking at the law in the ark that we begin to really be able and be empowered to live as we please. Yes, it's where the presence of God is, isn't it? It is the law placed where the presence of God is, and it's there where we muse on the law as it is fulfilled in Christ, where God is, that we begin to understand and receive the power to do what it asks of us. The angry person, by looking to Christ, learning of Christ, he learns gentleness. Yes, because he sees the disciples coming around ready to drive away the children. Christ, with such gentleness, suffer the little children to come unto me. The bitter person learns forgiveness by looking at Christ. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. How can bitterness remain with a gaze on our substitute? Hearing him say, Father, forgive them. It's by looking to Christ where the proud person learns humility. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Who humbled himself? The Son of God. He, the eternal Son of God who made the worlds, humbled himself. The uncreated God takes the form of the creature. You have never humbled yourself like that. The murmuring person learns quietness. Yes, you see your circumstances and you murmur. And then you see the circumstances of Christ before Pilate, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. He opened not his mouth. Am I enduring what he endured? Why is it I murmur? I go there to Gabbatha and I learn contentment. It's by looking to Christ, the foolish person learns wisdom. Yes, he learns wisdom. Realizes that the Lord Jesus, his entire childhood, was encapsulated by him, increasing in wisdom. That's what his childhood was for, to increase in wisdom. That's how it's summarized. And on it goes. It's by looking to Christ that the hypocrite learns sincerity. The idolater learns true worship. The liar learns honesty. The malicious person learns kindness. The contentious person learns to be a peacemaker. The slanderer learns to be an encourager. The fornicator learns purity. The adulterous person learns commitment. The idle learn to be industrious. And on it goes. Learn of me. Learn of me. Beloved, we come to pray tonight. What is the greatest need we have? It is, in terms of our times at home and our times in this house, our times of learning of Christ. Ah, the devil wants so much. He wants so much for us to jump into the attractional model of the church. Yes, the attractional model. Because the attractional model gets more people, larger budgets, more attention. The attractional model. It's where we set everything up to convince goats that they're sheep. By giving them the things that they already liked before they walked through the door. And then they like when they come in through the door and they're told, Christians like these things. Oh, well, I'm without regeneration, without genuine conversion. The goat walks out thinking he has a fleece. And he's a sheep. But he is not. Some additional implications before we pray. When Christ says, learn of me, the implication is, do not be content with where you are. Learn of me. Every one of you. Every one of us. Learn of me. You haven't done learning. You haven't. Yes. Some of you have spent many years in learning. And the danger is you think you can stop, but you can't. Yes, that's the worst. That's a killer there for ministry. That is a killer. That's when the young man thinks he goes to seminary to learn, and afterwards he just spends the rest of his life gleaning from everything he learned back then. That's a fast track to disaster. No, he has to be constantly learning, growing, especially here. Learn of me. No, we can't be content. Also, change is impossible without faith in Christ. It is impossible without faith in Christ. That's what Christ is saying. Come on to me to learn of me. Is believe on me and learn of me. Faith must be there. It must proceed. And true evangelical faith then lays the groundwork for proper learning of Christ. But we need our faith to grow. Our learning of Christ cannot grow without the increase of our faith. Increase my faith. Without that, the change cannot take place. It cannot be more Christ-like. When Christ says, learn of me also, it is a call for us to think often on Christ, isn't it? Learn of me. When you're learning of a subject, you can't ignore it. There are subjects you learned about, just like me, subjects you learned about, and you barely remember a thing about what you learned because you haven't looked or considered that subject since you last did an exam on it. And so you barely remember anything about it. Even there's some details there, and you could pick it up faster than you initially did. But it's all faded. It's all faded. So if you're not regularly using your trigonometry and whatever else it might be, your languages, it fades. It fades. Yes, even your own mother language can fade. My father said that. So long not speaking in Armenian. It took him a time when there just had been a period of years where he was not regularly speaking in the very language of his own home. It was having to think longer to get the flow, get the language going. That's the very language of your home. And so we need to think often on Christ. If we're going to learn of him, it needs to be regular. We need to be constantly set the Lord always before you. And then we might finally say, talk often about him. Learn of me. One of the best ways to learn is to then teach what it is you're learning, isn't it? If you have an opportunity to learn and then teach, or teach and because of the teaching you have to learn so that you can teach, one of the best ways to learn is that opportunity of teaching. And so we are to talk often one with another about the Lord, about Christ, about the things that edify. Yes, let this little place be a haven where we can talk on Christ, about Christ, what we're learning. Part the insights that the Lord has given to us, to one another. And we will learn of him. We will learn of him. Yes, so let us pray tonight that we may learn of him. Amidst the other prayers that we have, to learn of Christ. And beloved, pray for me. Pray for me that I learn of Christ, so that I may impart to you that which will truly feed your soul.